Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Hello. How are you? I'll assume you're fine. Before anybody who listens to the show with any regularity assumes I'm going to start hyperventilating about the latest foolishness from the president. Not yet. Oh, it's coming.
Oh, I know.
But
we know,
not yet.
We know.
First at 6:10, here's what's coming up on the show today. Karen Travers will join us. Is that time changed again? Karen Travers? What time is she on? She'll be on at 6:30 with you.
Yeah, she'll be on with us. Okay, she'll be our big story because she's got, I believe, some new information as well.
From ABC News, Michael O'Hanlon from the Brookings Institute, one of the great minds on what we do and don't do in regards to foreign policy and protection overseas, can speak to the seriousness of the president, revealing super-duper extra-scary classified information to his Russian pals. Let me amend that statement. To the Russians who showed up the day after he fired the FBI director.
Right, right.
Just
get the timeline. Yeah, we have to get the timeline in order.
Karen Conti later on, the guy that punched the security guard, who as far as we know has not been arrested yet.
Nope.
How is that even possible?
I don't know, but reportedly they were questioning a few people. And I'm assuming they're questioning the other three who were in that video as well. So they're questioning people of interest.
Is it possible he's not a local? He's out of town or something?
Possibly. But they're questioning a few people in connection with that. No charges yet, though.
Jeremy Roenick later, just after 7, we'll get his take on what's left of the Stanley Cup playoffs and the conference finals that are going on now. Orion later, Paul Conrad later, and karaoke later. We'll talk about our next finalist as a preview of John DeCosta's appearance tomorrow. That's all coming up. First, though, at 6:11, let's do the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGNS.
So, yesterday I had this great afternoon with Abigail Grace Cochran. My one and only grandchild. And I'm driving home. I'm minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. And my car alarms go off like DEFCON 5 because they're set for freak-out mode. And CNN was in full freak-out mode over a story from the Washington Post and the New York Times secondarily, but broken by the Washington Post. That if we go back to the day that Comey was fired and the next day the Russian ambassador and the foreign minister both show up at the White House, cameras and media from our side not let in, Russian cameras and media let in. There wasn't a lot that came out of that meeting until yesterday. And what came out yesterday was that President Trump, and by all accounts, this is everybody that's been even sort of involved to really involved, President Trump, in an attempt to boast to the Russians in the room, started talking about a particular piece of intel that we received from a very close ally that we had collectively with this ally. We had a mole inside ISIS. Mm-hmm. We had someone inside ISIS. He revealed the country, allegedly. He revealed the city, obviously, if you reveal the country, the city or the city, then the country. He revealed information that would allow the Russians to backwards engineer it to figure out who they were and what they were. Now, why is this important? Well, remember, the Russians are trying to kill rebels who are trying to kill ISIS in Syria.
Right.
So, in other words, the Russians aren't just after ISIS. The Russians are after their own narrow self-interest, which you would expect they would be, and that's to protect the base in Syria by protecting the Syrian regime that's currently in power, regardless of the damage of that civil war. So their interest is not our interest. So the idea that the president would give up this information is preposterous, ridiculous, inexcusable, whether he's bragging or whether he was complicit and fully in bed with him. And by the way, it's likely the first. So this all blows up last night. They're still trying to figure out, the collective world is trying to figure out how much damage has already been done. If this source, this mole, if you will live through the day.
Right.
Because if you're ISIS, let's say ISIS is here. And let's say we've got somebody in Tinley Park. Mm-hmm. And in Tinley Park, we know that there's somebody who is giving us information on ISIS. You could backwards engineer that if you're ISIS and say, well, I've been suspecting this guy in Tinley Park, and start shooting people.
Right.
They're not exactly the trial by jury type.
Yeah, I mean, number one, his life, we're assuming it's him, his life is now a risk, or the allies, plural, and that cuts off our access to sensitive information. We lose that now.
Well, if you're if you're Israel, the United Kingdom, Germany, whomever our close ally is in this case, and by the way, it may be somebody that we're not all that close with who's trying to, cozy up to us. But whoever that, why would you give any more information to us? Why would you share anything with us going forward?
And now that Russia knows that too, they could disrupt their efforts. As you said initially, their interests are not our interests.
No.
So they could disrupt that whole other subplot.
So one of the things you're going to hear today is code word intelligence. It's a phrase that I was not familiar with, but it's one of the two highest levels of intelligence. You got your top secret. And then you got your whatever, and then you got your code word intelligence. And it comes out of World War II. And code word intelligence is what the president violated. Back this up just one step further before we continue. There's about a five-page document, sometimes less, that's prepared by the various departments before a president has a meeting with a foreign power. That's for the president to read and understand, the same way the daily briefings are for the president to take part in. He doesn't take part in the daily briefings. He insists that all documents that he has to read are boiled down to one page and bullet points only because he likes to fly by the seat of his pants because he doesn't like to read. I'm not making it up. These are things that the president has said. This is why he wasn't prepared. Now, here's the part that's going to surprise you. I'm going to defend Donald Trump for a second. The people who work closest with Donald Trump know best that he's not ready for this. They should tell him not what to say, but what not to say. In every meeting. And I would like to know who in that meeting, because Rex Tillerson was there, H.R. McMaster was there, mm-hmm. who in that meeting didn't look at the president before the Russians walked in the room and said, whatever you do, don't tell him about our guy in Tinley Park.
Right. Tillerson says that he didn't say anything.
Right. Well, so did McMaster.
Right. Yeah.
But what they said was, and what McMaster said was very carefully worded about not giving up sources and methods. He didn't say he didn't give up information. Mm-hmm. He said he didn't give up the name of the person or how they got the information. We know for a fact that the CIA left the meeting and immediately went out and started warning people. And the CIA and the NSA went to the Washington Post and said, please don't reveal anything more in this story.
Right.
Okay, if they're going to that level of CYA, mm-hmm. then there's something to the story.
And I know the president can declassify almost anything.
Anything.
But is what he did, if he did it, considered espionage?
It's probably not illegal, simply because of the reason you just stated. I don't think it's anything that's going to take Donald Trump out of office, but again, it goes to what was said a couple of days ago and last week. If the country has to protect itself from the president of the United States, maybe we've got the wrong guy in that job. Been saying it for 2 years. You don't have to tell me I'm right ever. I know I'm right.
Even so
you're going to say, Steve.
I was just going to say, even more concerning is this notion that we all, when we put McMaster and Tillerson there, we thought, well, they're going to be the calming force, the guiding, the guides in this, for them not to have just spoken up and said, hey, wait, Mr. President, don't say anything more.
And maybe they did.
It sounds Who knows? Like they didn't, though.
I don't know, though. I don't think he's going to listen to anybody.
Well, that's just it. And the idea that he thinks he can do this with no experience, none, zero experience in these types of meetings. Nobody's ready for the presidency. Everybody that was ever president will tell you that. But the idea that he doesn't even read the briefings and he doesn't take the daily briefing. It's outrageous. And by the way, it's not just other countries now having to screen whether or not they give us information. It's our various intelligence agencies deciding what they're going to let the president know.
Right. You can't take that chance.
It says 619 will do traffic, then we'll finish the top six at six. What's happening? Great Britain is a starter. You know who did it? Do you know who did it? Do you know who did it? Do you know who did it? North Korea and China.
China.
North Korea and China are now considered to be the head of the pin for the pirated software for the ransomware attack this week. More to come. Earth-shattering information from Springfield. Mike Madigan wants to work with anyone? What? This can't be true. Speaker Madigan says he plans to unveil an economic agenda today, saying that the Democrats are hoping to work with Republican Governor Bruce Rauner to find common ground in efforts to jumpstart job growth in Illinois. By the way, there's no budget word in any of that. Jumpstart job growth.
Right. So will there be a news conference then, or is this just going to come out as a handout?
Yeah, probably
part of the new.
No, it probably would be just a handout. We can't call Mike because he doesn't have a phone. But for the time being, I would like to say congratulations, Mr. Madigan. I hope this proves to be true, because I'll be happy to say that you're doing the right thing in this case. We'll see. Well, have you noticed that gas prices are bouncing up and down like crazy?
Big time, yeah.
Now they're bouncing up and up and up. If you're not paying attention, you could have paid about $2.10 a gallon 2 or 3 days ago. Yesterday, when I filled up the Tahoe, it was $2.60 and going up. You notice that?
I did notice that, and I was actually filling up my wife's car on Saturday, and the guy came out to change the price on the side. So what do you? And I had just taken the nozzle out of the fuel tank.
Oh, you missed it by that much.
It was that close.
So if you had still been filling up with the price on the following gallons have gone up?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how you calculate that. But just know that gas prices are going up, so if you need gas, get it today.
Yep.
Because we'll probably be looking at $3 gas in the next week.
Well, yeah, because Memorial Day is coming up, too.
There is
and
that
the
as well.
The price always shoots up.
Next! So, I'm going to go to you live on this. Uh-oh. Bachelor Ben.
Yeah, I'm not the good bachelor person.
All right, let's go to Mary live on this. Bachelor Ben.
Yes, what about Ben?
Bachelor Ben, I believe from the beginning of last year.
Yes.
Bachelor Ben and his fiancée are not getting married. The engagement's off.
I'm not surprised. They just did a big article about them in People magazine about how they're redecorating their house that they're living in together.
Whoops.
Well, so much for that.
That can be very stressful for couples.
You think that's what took them out?
I do.
Look what happened to, what was that couple that you liked, Tipsy and Nipsey?
Tark and Christina.
Oh, yeah, those two.
Oh, yeah.
Nipsey and
the home people.
Those two people. It cost them their marriage working
yes,
together.
Yes, but they got signed for another season, so.
Yeah.
Are they going through couples counseling?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Lou's doing it.
Yeah.
Lou Manfredini. And finally, let's go to Sandberg on this. Sandberg, do you own a romper?
I do have a couple rompers.
Okay. Do you own a romper?
Can you just explain
a onesie?
What that
is?
A
I love
onesie.
Rompers. They're so cute.
You mean like those footy pajamas that you wore as a kid?
No.
Well, no, as an outfit. Like the little, the shorts that are attached to a top.
Yeah, it's a
pants.
One-piece thing. You have one on right now, don't you?
It's a grown-up
onesie.
I'm
wearing a dress right now, actually, but it does look like a romper. But now they're...
Okay, let's call it what it is. It's a onesie without the snaps and the crotch.
Right.
It's a onesie.
And our big problem as a girl is you have to take it off all the way to use the restroom.
Wait, yeah, it's a pain in the neck to go to the bathroom.
Isn't that just a dress?
No,
because it's shorts.
It's shorts or pants.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, get it. No, all I don't own one of those.
All right, here's why it's a story today. Sandberg?
There is a Kickstarter campaign that raised $40,000 to start the Romp Him. It's
Stop
a romper
it.
For men.
Nope.
Yep.
There's a post on our show page at WGNRadio.com and on our Facebooks and socials. And Dave has checked out the video of guys wearing Romp Hims.
Dave, I think you'd be really adorable.
Already make those people, car repairmen and mechanics wear them.
Yeah, but not with shorts.
No, those are called overalls, aren't they?
Yeah, but the Carhartt stuff. So this is a shorts.
If guys start wearing these things, I'm going to start wearing my footsie Winnie the Pooh pajamas to work.
Yeah, well, feel free. It's not like that won't be material for me.
Kind of like singlets the wrestlers wear, except.
But that's for wrestling.
Right.
And that's also
and
for
you're
wrestling.
In the ring for that.
Yeah, this is not something men should be wearing.
Yeah, I don't see
What are the pants with the short legs?
Here's a picture, Steve.
Oh, the capris?
Oh, I saw the story.
And how do the men go to the bathroom?
They have a zipper fly, so they don't have to struggle with the same things we do.
Oh, how nice.
I know.
Do we wear these things, these romper things, to work?
Where it says you can wear them in the day, and then it can take you into the night.
No.
You can be comfortable and fashionable.
I think we should have...
You want to get beat up.
I think the guys on the show should try them just so we can see how they look.
I think Dave would look good in one, because he was just... like he's a fashion kind of guy and he's built well for something
yeah,
like
you
this.
Have you to know, have a good physique.
I tried. Remember a couple of years ago, Bill and Wendy had the guy in making the meggings.
You want to gloss over
the leggings?
Hold on a second. You want to gloss over the fact that Vanderbilt said you have to have a good physique?
I think that was just an insult.
Don't you think?
Well, it was an insult.
I didn't say
everyone on the show other than Dave.
All the men on the show.
Mike could wear one. Mike could wear
I believe
a,
what Mary said was...
Him. Are you looking to get in the unemployment line with Vanderbilt? What are you doing?
I believe what Mary said was that he's built well to wear this. Yes. I don't know how to take that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's okay. Still mean.
I mean, this guy's cute in one, Dave. Wearing a romp him, and he looks very comfortable.
Yeah. Dave would look cute in one.
So people can go to the website and look
I think you're all running the risk of one more shovel full.
Bill and Wendy's producer Kevin Richter would look adorable in a romp him.
Okay. I think he's adorable, but I don't know if he'd look good in a romp him.
Romp him? That's what they're calling them?
I think I'm too narrow for a romp him.
You are a little thin.
What is it, a romper?
It's a romp him.
Romp him.
And they have adjustable waist buttons.
Let me break the news to you. There's no grown man that would look good in that outfit unless he intends to wear it for a particular reason.
And Which would that reason be?
I can't think of any currently.
Didn't the Munchkins wear them in Wizard of Oz, kind of?
No, you know what you're thinking of? Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, it was, that's it.
The Oompa Loompas wore them. The romps.
Not good. So anyway, the question I asked 20 minutes ago was the short pair of pants that women wear.
Capris.
Remember they did capris for men back in the 90s?
Did any man wear those?
I had a producer then named Grunwald. Who wore them as a joke, and then I think he liked them, and he wore them privately.
Ah, okay.
But those, they don't still sell those, do they?
They sell capris for women all the time.
The capris for men. The only place I've seen capris for men is in Venice.
Or Hawaii.
You know, the guys on the boats with on the gondolas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The gondoliers,
that's it. All right, well, the world's coming to an end. It's 6:31. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN. You hear about this kid. Kid of the Week time, 6:51. And our Kid of the Week is Malik Robertson. I want to thank Tammy Armstrong for telling us about Malik. Tammy works at the Illinois Mathematics and Science Academy, where Malik is a student there. And I think, am I right about this, Malik? You're a senior?
Yes.
What are you going to do next year?
I'll be going to IIT for aerospace engineering.
Well, congratulations in advance. Let me brag about you a little bit. Malik Robertson, through his studies at IMSA, is developing the world's fastest motorized skateboard.
Wow.
What's kind of cool is that?
So cool.
All right, what is the current world record for skateboarding?
Currently is 59.55 miles per hour.
And what are you shooting for?
I'm aiming to break at least 60, but I'd like to get up to 70.
70 miles an hour on a skateboard?
Wow, cool.
What does your mother think of this?
They think I'm a bit crazy, but they say as long as they have, like, the safety stuff on and don't go to the ER, it should be okay.
Are you a really good skateboarder?
I did not know how to skateboard before I built my current one about a year ago.
And are you riding your prototypes?
Yeah.
So how fast have you gone so far?
Currently, I've maxed out at about 27 miles per hour.
And what does 27 miles an hour feel like on a skateboard?
When you're on the board, it feels fine, but once you crash, it feels a lot faster.
Malik, you're obviously a great skateboarder now, but how do you keep from falling or having the wind affect you?
The wind is kind of more of a problem you expect. So some days I'll be coming back to the hall, and it's like 20 miles per hour wind, and I can barely go anywhere on it because it's just too much drag on me.
Okay.
When I'm going the opposite direction, I can fly probably up to 30 miles per hour on it with the wind at my back.
Now, Dave, we just had the marathoners try to break the two-hour marathon on an oval track with optimal conditions.
Came close.
So if you're going to set the world record on the skateboard, where will you do it?
We're looking at getting a runway to DuPage Airport.
Oh, cool. Just, like,
perfect.
Just move as possible area. But also with Guinness, sometimes you have to do a pass both directions for because of the wind.
I was going to say, I don't think the skate park on Roosevelt... And now Michigan would be sufficient.
No 360s? Yeah, come on. And will you be the rider for the record run, or are you going to bring in a professional?
I'm going to be the rider.
Yeah.
Dude, what's the matter with you? Come here. Let me knock you on the head once. What's the worst crash you've had so far?
My deck snapped at about 20 miles per hour. So I flew through the air, and I messed up like both of my hands and almost broke my elbow.
Oh.
You got a really important brain, man. We need your brain going forward. We need you functional. So let's not kill ourselves over this, Malik.
Oh, yeah. So I had a helmet on. Eventually, my school required me to put a helmet on while I rode across campus.
Yeah.
You know what? That seems entirely reasonable.
I think so. Hey, Malik, are you going to use this technology for future projects like cars?
Yeah, for good and
rockets?
Not evil?
Yeah.
I'm not sure because I'd like to start looking into more of the electric airplane type thing and how it can move the industry forward. But, of course, there's a stigma of, like, electric airplanes falling out of the sky, things like that.
Yeah, that does seem like something. Yeah, Elon Musk should want to hire you, like, yesterday.
Oh, yeah. From Tesla and the SpaceX type. It'd be quite interesting.
Unbelievable.
How'd you get interested in this? Did you look at skateboards and say, this thing's just not fast enough?
One night, last year I was looking through YouTube at, like, midnight. And I found this German YouTuber, Great Scott, who built one, and he had a three-part series. So I was like, it doesn't look too hard. I have, like, some of the batteries in my room. I have some of the controllers. So I started building it. My first prototype was just duct tape on a Walmart board and, like, cheap things I found around the house. Eventually, I upgraded, built my own decks, getting better batteries, better motors, things like that.
Anybody listening that could help Malik in his quest, contact us, and we'll put you in touch with Malik. Because we want you to be able to continue your work. We know the Quad County African American Chamber of Commerce kicked in $2,000 for this, but you're going to need some serious research dollars and a lot of gauze.
Yes.
And keep wearing that helmet.
No kidding.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, you give your mother a heart attack. The All-State Kid of the Week, you got yourself. We'll give you pizza for after, you know, the run with Lou Malnati's Pizza, an Amazon gift card as well. And we want to keep in touch with you, man. We want to know how this is going.
All right, we'll do. Thank you.
All right, hold on. There you go. That's Malik.
How cool is that? He's going to design, you know what? He's going to design a rocket someday, something to go even faster.
I'm not wild about the idea of a electric plane.
That sounds cool, though. You'd go into space. That's your
up your alley. There's gas. Right?
There could be a charging station up there somewhere.
Yeah. Just got to find it. 6:57, back with your news. It's 7 o'clock here in a couple of minutes. Stand by for that, and then Jeremy Roenick will join us. A little talk of National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs without the Blackhawks. And in addition to that, it's Jeremy Roenick hockey school time. So we'll ask him about that. Coming up on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Great play by Steve Larmer to fend off a checker and then clear it to center. Here comes Roenick. One man to beat. Roenick in on Gdynia. A spinorama. He's around him. He's in. He scores! Jeremy Roenick! A great move as he turned the Soviet defenseman inside out.
Jeremy Roenick taking a page out of Dennis Savard's book. Terrific balance after being knocked down. Great spinorama move and bang into the net. A magnificent goal by Jeremy Roenick.
We got about 500 more of those if you want to hear them. JR getting it done. Doesn't it seem like we still ought to be playing hockey? Come on. JR joins us now. It just doesn't feel right. You know what I'm talking about, Jeremy Roenick. It just doesn't feel right. The Hawks not in this.
It feels terrible. I don't like my job as much without having the Hawks in the playoffs, especially the first round exit. It was terrible, but hopefully next year they rebound and come back. But they did lose to a team that's still rolling and still playing well, so they can hang their hat on that at least.
The trouble though for NBC, because I think NBC has done a phenomenal job since they've become the Hockey Network, and you're a big part of that. But the trouble for NBC becomes outside of the regular hockey fan, without an original six franchise, and frankly without the Hawks. You don't get the ancillary hockey fans that you would normally get because you're looking at a Final Four that's Nashville, Anaheim, Ottawa, and Pittsburgh.
We talk about it every night in the studio, and there's no question about it. The original six bring a different dynamic to the broadcast. It brings a different dynamic to the attendance in the building. And the viewership on television, there's no question about it. And it is the Hawks, and it is the Rangers, and it is Montreal. There's no question that having a Canadian team still in it, having a small market team, two small market teams still in it. I think Pittsburgh is a very big draw still for our network. But you know, it's still great hockey, and that's I think that's one thing that we have to look at. If Nashville makes the final, I mean, it really brings a different different dynamic to a lot more people learning the game and watching the game and bringing more fans onto the scene throughout the year. So you got to look at it the glass half full, right? Not half empty.
Exactly.
Plus, Steve, you bring in the country music fans who will follow Nashville.
Plus that weird dude in the vinyl leisure suit that plays at the Bridgestone Arena. What's that guy's name? Wacky Willie or whatever his name is.
And then you got the Canadian government fans,
I
too.
I got to learn my national stuff really quick.
Yeah, you got to get ready. Do you think, Jeremy, that this is the way this has gone, that it's going to make people kind of reevaluate how they approach the regular season? Obviously, you still want to win. You want to finish as high up as you do. But what does it get you when you look at teams like the Blackhawks, like Washington, Columbus, who had such great regular seasons, and now they're sitting back and they're on the golf course?
It's a great point. And you know, this is the second time, I think, in the last 5 years that the eighth seed has continued to play as well as Nashville has. The L.A. Kings went on to win the Stanley Cup as an eighth seed 5 years ago. So with the parity that's in the game today, with as many great players, and there's so many good players, that's you know, one of the main reasons why the NHL is going to expansion and moving it to Las Vegas for another team. I think the way the teams are going to be built, you know, scouting is going to be out there looking for, you know, not so much the hard talent guys, but the big heart guys. Because it's the heart and the grit and the determination and the people that are willing to work through, the real tough parts of the games, the real tough parts of the seasons. These are the guys that, you know, that are going to be are so important in winning Stanley Cups, because it's the grind. It's when it gets really, really tough, it's the guy that's going to push harder for you, not the guy who's going to make the beautiful goal or the beautiful move with the most talent. And you're seeing a lot of that right now with Anaheim, with Nashville, and even more so probably with Ottawa.
I would argue that you could see that when a kid's little, and I mean 10, 11, 12 years old, and it develops and you grow with it. You could maybe teach it. I don't know. That's a good sports bar argument. But competitiveness is something that I really feel like is ingrained. And I know you're going to see a bunch of kids at the Jeremy Roenick Hockey School where you'll go, that kid, if he's serious about it, that kid could be something someday.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I appreciate you bringing up my hockey school. I'm having my first ever hockey school, and I've always wanted to do something with the kids. And, you know, no better place to start my first hockey school than right there in Chicago. So from July 31st to August 4th, at Seven Bridges out there in the west side.
Yeah, it's a great rink.
Yeah.
Out in Lyle.
Yeah, well, you know why it's a great rink? This is why it's a great rink. And I don't know if you know this yet, but when it was built back in the early 90s, a bunch of us from the Hawks, including myself and Doug Wilson, put in a bunch of money to help start up the startup cost.
I did know that.
Yeah, and it's been a really, really good part of the community out there, and no better place for me to do that. So,
and by the way, what JR would do after he invested, he would then go next door to the golf course and try to win it back from Michael.
That's right. I had a threesome with me, Michael, and Dan Quayle in one of the tournaments there. How about that?
Oh, that's a good time. Yeah, Quayle could play.
For Motley Crue. Yeah, Dan could play. He's been a good friend of mine for a while, but that's as Motley Crue as you get. So.
Hey, Jay, I was going to ask for a scholarship to your school, but I have a 5-year-old cousin who put on skates for the first time at the Blackhawks Winter Wonderland at Navy Pier.
Wow.
Loved it. Once he got comfortable in his bearings, he went from two hands on the side to one to none. So what age would be too young to start coming to the school?
Five is a little young. We're looking for seven-year-olds to 15-year-olds. But
okay.
I'll tell you what, if you bring him out, and I will make sure that after one of the practices, I'll take him out on the ice, and I will I'll show him a couple.
Cool
things.
Oh, he would love that.
How
are you
cool
kidding? We were circling, and we saw Panarin walk by, and I said, "Hey, there's the bread man," and he leans over and he goes, "Hey, bread."
How cool is that?
Breadman.
You just got offered a personal lesson
from
JR.
Jared, that is so cool. I'll excited.
I will be there on the ice. I'll tell you what, one of the days, I'll give you my number when we get off the phone.
That would be fantastic.
Come on over, and I'll take him on the ice a few times. Absolutely. And that's what this whole thing's about, is, you know, personal touch from me to as many kids as I can in Chicago.
Well, let me tell you the schedule here. Sunday, July 30th through Friday, right? Friday, August 4th. Yes, and you're going to get one-on-one instruction. You're going to get on-skill development. You're going to get scrimmaging time. A uni, which is great, obviously going to feed you.
Yep.
And guest appearances from JR and his friends. It's a great idea, man. I'm glad you're doing it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. And anybody who's interested, from kids age 7 to 15, just go to jrhockeyschool.com, and you'll see all the information there. And by the way, if there are any adult players out there, I'm having an adult camp from Wednesday to Friday also, which will include, after every night, a little beer conversation and storytelling.
There you go. Worth the price of admission. All right, man, thanks. Hold on. That's Jeremy Roenick. Just Google JR Hockey School, and you will get all the information on his first hockey school right here in Chicago. Back to the damage of Donald Trump. What did he do now? We'll get to Michael O'Hanlon from the Brookings Institute coming up. First, here's Mary.
I don't know if I can do a traffic report. My daughter-in-law's in labor.
Finally.
What do you mean? She's still 2 weeks away.
She should have done it on the show.
I know.
It's exciting. Go ahead.
She's on her way to the hospital. Oh, boy.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
One of the first things we must do is to enforce all classification rules relating to the handling of classified information. Hillary is the one who endangered national security by sending classified information.
Put classified information in the reach of our enemies.
Disqualifies her from the presidency.
What happens when I'm dealing with the problems in the Middle East? Are you folks going to be reporting all of that very, very confidential information? We got to stop it. That's why it's a criminal penalty.
She was extremely careless and, frankly, I say, grossly incompetent. She will be such a lousy president, folks. Top secret. Okay?
The hypocrisy, frankly, doesn't matter at this point. What matters is what happened and what happens from here. The president tweets this morning, as president, I wanted to share with Russia at an openly scheduled White House meeting, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline flight safety, humanitarian reasons. Plus, I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism. I've been asking Director Comey and others from the beginning of my administration to find the leakers in the intelligence community. That's more of divert and distract. Let's go to Michael O'Hanlon from the Brookings Institute. There's hysteria to some extent over this. Is it appropriate or not?
Good morning, Steve. Well, I think you've done a great job of, first of all, you know, a little bit of fair payback. I mean, what Donald Trump said last year about Hillary was so overdone, and about offenses that, frankly, were in the same league, perhaps, or even less, in the same ballpark as what happened yesterday. And so I think, you know, given the way he used that kind of anger to catapult himself to the presidency, it is only fair to hold himself, that we all hold him to that same standard. Having said that, I'm a little bit sympathetic to the potential to make a mistake here. I think he did make a mistake because he used information that had been provided by another country and transferred that to Russia without the original country's permission, potentially jeopardizing that country's sources and methods. And he was a little bit sloppy about having to actually share the name of the city. Even if we had come up with that name of the city, you wouldn't necessarily have to do that to be able to tell the Russians that you had a basis for worrying about these laptops or any other specific concern. In other words, you only share what you need to share, unless you are in an active collaborative intelligence effort where you're actually working shoulder to shoulder with people, which of course we are not doing with the Russians. So two mistakes: one, sharing information from another country without that country's permission; two, just going too far on the sharing when it wasn't needed. But I think this is the kind of thing that, in fairness, presidents do have to wrestle with and learn from. And so I don't consider it an unprecedented mistake. I don't consider it an impeachable mistake. But given what he said last year about Hillary, he certainly needs to be, held accountable a little bit here. And I hope he will learn from it.
I also think we all need to accept what we've got. And what we've got is a guy who's probably never been less ready for this job than anybody that's been in that office in our knowledge of history. And for that reason, I hold to some extent at fault the people that prepare him for this, the people that have allowed him to get away with reading bullet points instead of actually coming to the daily briefings and doing the 2 to 5 page memos that are prepared for these meetings. And literally, I mean, Michael, you know this stuff way better than I do. But it seems to me, knowing President Trump as his inside circle does, they need to tell him specifically what not to say in these meetings more than what to say.
Well, a good point, although, as we can probably both imagine, easier said than done. And I do feel for my good friend and amazing American national security official, H.R. McMaster,
right,
who was in the position of trying to figure out how to handle this. And he was trying to tamp it down a little and basically say to people, listen, it's not like the president gratuitously shared information about double agents in Moscow with the Russians. On the other hand, HR shouldn't have been in that position. General McMaster certainly does his homework, certainly would prefer, I'm sure, that the president read 2 to 5 page memos instead of just bullet points, would prefer that the president stay on script. But he's in a position where the guy that he works for doesn't do those things, won't do those things. And HR, God bless him, is trying to make the best of a tough situation. And I hope very much that he stays in the job. I think we'll all be better off if he does. So I regret that someone like him of his caliber and his importance to the country right now for providing that steadying hand is sort of in between the media and Trump, trying to, you know, find words that put this in perspective. But it puts HR out on a limb, and I don't want him out there.
I agree 1,000%.
Michael, it's not espionage, obviously. The president can do what he wants with his powers and his information and can declassify what he wants. But it's a huge lapse in judgment. So at this point, do they, his staff, McMaster and of course, Tillerson, do they keep information from him going forward?
Well, of course, that's pretty tough to do. But I think what you can do is you can spend a little more time reminding the president that when you're giving him really sensitive information, that this is incredibly important stuff to keep secret. I'm sure they did, but maybe this just leads you to want to double down on that. So in a future situation like this, you know, maybe you remind the president this is the kind of information that, even though it seems relatively innocuous, you know, a city in Syria from which we got the data or the information that then led us to this concern, that sounds like, you know, no huge deal. But in fact, the kind of people who could have gotten that information, there are only a few of them, and you can probably figure out their identity from which city it was and maybe even the location within the city. And all of a sudden, you start to be able to have a cascading, you know, series of inferences. And the president, of course, doesn't understand this that well. Most of us don't, because it really is the art of intelligence that, you know, only people who have really practiced it are going to know all the details. Since it's so highly classified, the rest of us won't see it in our lifetime. And so I guess all I'm saying is I'm sure they did some of that, but yes, they're going to have to do even more when you get in this kind of a situation.
Yeah, and it's endlessly frustrating, I'm sure, for that inner circle, because there's plenty to do. There's no shortage of work, and to add this extra layer of preparation or cover is impossible. Not impossible, but a real problem. And you know, going to what you just said, whoever this source is, because this is a gold mine to have a source inside ISIS, that source now likely compromised and possibly in danger. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, what I don't know is how much this is a source within ISIS, how much it is signals intelligence being picked up locally by some kind of an antenna in the city in question, or, you know, yet another possibility. But you're right. Anybody who is part of ISIS in that city is now going to be doubling down on all their security and asking, well, could this have been that person or this emitter or whatever? They're going to do, a review of their own security procedures, and there's a decent chance they'll figure out, you know, what it was that allowed us to listen in. So, I'm not suggesting that that will definitely happen, that they'll definitely find whoever it was or whatever it was. But obviously the odds are increased when ISIS knows exactly where to look.
Yeah, at the bare minimum, the president made this all much tougher and much worse. Thankfully, though, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are speaking. Oh, wait, no, they're not.
You know, one more thing. We've had, most people don't like both George W. Bush and Barack Obama, at least not politically.
Right.
I sort of half like them both, but I do miss them because they were both guys who were sort of self-contained and self-disciplined.
Yeah.
You know, they both had their occasional mistakes or lapses of judgment, but they didn't like to talk just for the sake of talking and hearing their own voice and thinking that it was cool to share intelligence just because they happened to be able to see it. And Donald Trump's going to have to get used to the fact that, yeah, he is now sort of the most, not just the most powerful person on the planet, but the most briefed and read in to high intelligence matters. And yeah, that's incredibly cool at one level, but it's primarily a responsibility. And
yeah, it's not high school. No. It's not high school. Hey, Sergey, wait till you hear what I know. Come on. Michael, great information. Thank you very much. And again, follow Michael's work at the Brookings Institute. Easy to Google. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There you go. Michael O'Hanlon. And he has he and H.R. McMaster have had, to my knowledge, a longstanding relationship. And H.R. McMaster found himself yesterday in the Sean Spicerman position of having to tap dance. Now, there's a widely reported story of a screaming match that took place after the president stepped out of this situation and created the problem last night. And the Washington Post story broke, and the media department for the White House had to decide how to handle it. So Sarah Huckabee, Fersen Glazen, Farfik Nugent,
yes.
Sean Spicer, Bannon was involved, and there was a fourth, all screaming at each other.
So, ought to be a fly on that wall.
Well, you think about it. Every single day, there's another crisis. What is it like to work at that White House?
You know what? It's a complete lack of trust and a complete lack of honesty.
By his own staff.
Right. That's the problem.
You can't trust the boss. 7:33, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Well, nice to see Karen Conti in person. You look fabulous. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? It's nice to be here.
Doing fine. You on the radio Sunday night?
I am. I'm on from 8 to 9 with Brian Noonan.
All right. And when you're back in your regular neighborhood, Monday through Friday, where's that?
What do you mean?
Your office.
Oh, my office. Call me at my office, 312-332-7800, or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right, give us a background on the puncher. This occurred in front of a building,
yes,
apartment building, or a high-rise, I should say.
Yeah.
Where?
This was River North area, and what had happened was there were two men and two women, and they were in front of the building. One of the men was sick. There was a security guard from inside that building. She worked there about 2 months. She came out to see what the commotion was, actually brought a bucket out to clean up the mess that he had just made. It appears that they all had been drinking, and a neighbor had set up two of these HD cameras from their window and caught everything on tape. And when the woman went over, she approached one of the men. I think she was kind of shooing them away and saying, "Get out. You just made a mess here. You're drunk. Move along." One of the guys, big dude, hauled off and cold cocked her, punched her.
Threw a water bottle at her first.
Yeah, whipped a water bottle at her, punched her, and she had a broken nose and a portion of her eye was broken as well. So she's going to need some cosmetic surgery. She's okay, though. They all took off running, and they're questioning a few people of interest, but no arrests and no charges have been filed.
So, Karen, you know the cops in this case, you've got an unbelievably clear picture of the bad guy in this case.
Right.
How is it that he hasn't been caught yet?
You know, I'm just surmising that these people may have been from the suburbs, or they could have been from out of town, you know, because otherwise we would know who these people are. I mean, the video is all over the place, and like you said, it's crystal clear. And the girls were pretty, so you would imagine they would be noticeable. So someone knew where they were partying that night. Someone probably knows who they are, but my guess is that they're just not from the general environment there.
And this guy's a moron. Not just because he punched her, but listen, I profile morons. This guy's a moron and a coward. He's going to talk to somebody. He's going to say something about what happened, sure. And somebody's going to make a phone call. But I'm amazed that they have that he hasn't been caught yet, because this creep deserves to be punished.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen this over and over again with usually men, but I just wonder, you know, is this his first rodeo? Is you just, you know,
absolutely not.
You have that anger in you. I don't care how drunk most men are; they would never do that.
Mm-mm. No, he's punched
unprovoked,
women.
Completely,
he's punched women before, and he'll do it again.
Yes.
How about the people with him, too? Can they either be arrested or charged with anything for
concealing? No, you know, no. And a lot of people are talking about those women being culpable. And morally, ethically, yes, but not legally. Our system says, you know, unless you have a relationship, like a parent relationship, a teacher, a babysitter, a lifeguard relationship, something where you're charged with the duty to do certain things, you have no duty to help a stranger unless you cause the problem yourself. And I can't really say from that video that they caused that problem. It was him.
See, if you witness a crime, even if I'm with you and you punch somebody.
Yes.
I walk away with you. I'm still not part of the problem.
No.
Even if I don't make sure the person that got punched is okay.
I mean, if you're...
It seems like I'm leaving the scene of an accident.
Well, right. But unless you're aiding and abetting me, are you helping me get away or are you just walking away with me? I think those girls, from what I have seen, can't be charged with anything or even be held civilly
liable. Well,
there's
another guy there, too. You know, what right. a... Puss that guy is.
He's
you know,
the one who was sick, yeah.
I just the way they all looked at what happened and just turned away as if it were nothing. It was very strange. I mean, I can only attribute that to alcohol.
All right, let's say we catch him, and we will. What charges is he going to face?
Probably aggravated battery and assault. And they're going to step that up because of the damage that he did to her face and because of this video and the prominence of this. And he could go away to jail between like 1 and 3 years. If he had other priors, it could even be longer than that.
Could she file a civil suit too?
She absolutely could file a civil suit against him, you know, and getting a judgment against him might be wonderful. Collecting it is another thing, but certainly she would be able to recoup her expenses for all the medical treatment, whatever cosmetic surgery, if she had a loss. She said, I guess she couldn't feel her face and right. all those things. And then you have punitive damages, yeah. Which are just the damages a jury feels are appropriate to stop people from doing this kind of thing. The other thing is that whoever served him alcohol could be responsible under our dram shop laws.
Which are what?
So basically it says that if a bar serves a patron to the point of intoxication, and that person goes out and hurts somebody, and that hurting somebody was probably caused, at least in part, by that alcohol, then the bar can be responsible for those damages, property or physical injuries.
And the punitive damages you mentioned before, is there a limit on this?
No limit at all. It's whatever the jury thinks. Now, there are some limits just in general, but I mean, you look at how much he makes, you look at what he owns, and there's some limitations on that, but there's sure. no hard and fast rules on that.
All right, so in the video, which I think everybody's seen at this point, after he throws the water bottle at her, she steps towards him, which is how he's able to reach her and punch her. Could he, because of the coward that he is, make some legal claim that he felt like he had to hit her in self-defense?
I just can't even imagine that. I think they would throw that out before it was even presented.
You would hope, right?
Yeah. Just the size of him.
Right.
I mean, did he reasonably believe that she was going to do something to him? I mean, she didn't have a gun. She didn't have a weapon. She, you know,
Plus, he didn't take a defensive stance after he hit her. They just walked away casually.
I mean, it's a beautiful prosecution video, and I just think if I were representing him, I'd come and plead him down to whatever I could and get this done.
I want to ask you a question before we run out of time. We got to do traffic here, but we come back. If you've ever been to London, there are cameras on every corner.
Yes.
Every corner. And there's an argument here about privacy, and do you want to live in a society like that? Well, one of the reasons they have crime largely under control there is because there's cameras on every corner. But I don't know the civil suit society there, if it's similar to here. So I'm just curious to get your take on whether or not we need more cameras. Because if not for the accident of this guy having two cameras set up from his apartment.
From a different person's apartment.
Yeah. If not for that, we wouldn't have this video. So just what's the legal take on it? What's your personal take on it if we need more cameras in Chicago? And by the way, not at traffic lights. Karen Conti's here. I'm just, before we run out of time, do you have a personal feeling and a legal feeling about cameras?
I think they're good. I think I have read a lot about it, and I don't know that it prevents crime as much as it does allows the police to catch these people and to convict them and put them away so they can't do it again. I just wonder if these idiots like this guy that punched the woman, was he really thinking about a camera being there? If he were in his right mind, he might understand that he is on camera at all times, probably in the bar where he was drinking or bars he was drinking, where he was walking down the street. He was probably on camera the whole evening. People don't really think that way because criminals don't think that way. Mm-hmm. But it does help put them in jail, and that's what happened in London and in Chicago. I guess since we've had more cameras, we've had a lot more arrests and a lot more convictions.
When are they not allowed in court? When is the evidence not allowed in court?
If it's just not clear, or if there's no link to, you know, you have to be careful with those cameras, and you have to take them into chain of custody. So because you don't want them to be spliced up, and a lot of defense lawyers will make much of that. Well, they'll say that you spliced it in a way that I can't see the person's face, but otherwise they're admissible.
Is it different from a personal camera like this one was, as opposed to say one that's in someone's lobby or perhaps on like the top floor, a party, a common area of the building?
I think it's more. Excuse me. I think it's more how you take that camera down and you unload it. If the police took that camera and they had evidence of how they took it down and how they looked at it and they didn't alter it, then I think it's just as effective as a public camera.
So basically, these cameras become eyewitnesses.
They do.
And so the cops are wearing them now, too, to prove that the incident went down, whatever it is, the way they said it did.
I don't have any problem with that whatsoever.
I don't either. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, and you know, again, if you live in a civilized society and you're generally not committing crimes, the idea that Big Brother's watching you, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. No. Oh, well, we've got Google Earth. I mean, and anyone can go anywhere and see your backyard. So our expectations of privacy, unfortunately, I think, but are just lower than they used to be. And that's the price we pay for living in this country.
I've tried to get on Google Earth so long, I leave the windows open.
Right.
Said, hey, take a look.
Yeah.
Great to see you. Number at the
good
office?
312-332-7800.
Dean's coming up. And also after 8, we'll revisit what Donald Trump told his Russian friends. Oh, boy. After 9, karaoke preview and Paul Conrad and Big O all coming up after 9. And don't forget CLTV broadcasts the 9 o'clock hour on TV every morning, along with the 3 o'clock hour for Ro and Anna and her friends on CLTV. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:11, we go live to Channel 9 where Dean Richards is standing by.
Standing by.
I understand we have some changes coming to the Channel 9 lineup. Can we announce this, or is that in too early?
Oh, the Aaron?
Yeah.
His changes?
Yeah, is that public yet?
No, I think they sent out a press release yesterday.
Oh, they did?
It's public knowledge. Aaron McElroy.
I'm not familiar with her.
Who has put out like a dozen restraining orders against Steve through the years.
And by the way, still needs two more.
Yeah. She's been doing traffic on the WGN TV morning news. She is going to be shifting to the afternoon slot. She's going to be doing feature reporting, going back to her roots, doing news. So she'll be.
I would assume too. This allows her to actually see her husband once a week,
Demetrius Ivory.
Once a day,
weatherman Demetrius Ivory, who has also shifted to the afternoon shift. So they've got those twin babies. They've got other kids at home.
Demetrius is going, finally got rid of the battle axe, and now she's back.
Right. I don't know what I did, but so she'll go there. Sarah Jindra, who's been doing traffic in the afternoon, will do traffic on the morning show.
Okay.
She'll shift to the early hours. And
Amy Rutledge.
Amy Rutledge, yeah, she's like 37 months pregnant right now.
Right.
She's like ready to burst any second.
By the way, Mary Vandeveld's daughter-in-law is in labor right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, congratulations. When Amy comes back from maternity leave, and we're caring company. We give them like
20 minutes.
A couple of days, right, Dean?
A couple of days off. when she comes back from maternity leave, she will be doing traffic in the afternoon.
So
I kind of sound a little more excited about it.
Well, no, I just want to make sure the public knew. And we like Amy a lot.
Love
and,
Amy.
And she'll be great on that show.
And also, we have another new addition coming to the morning show. I'm not 100% sure when. But
is this a dancing monkey?
No, we've already got a whole team of dancing monkeys.
Oh, which one are you talking about?
On the morning show now. Morgan Kolkmeyer, who is a meteorologist in Rockford right now. W-R-E-X, the Rex in Rockford. She's going to be joining the WGN morning team and going to be the early morning meteorologist.
Is she going to change her name?
No, I don't think so. Why? What's wrong with Kolkmeyer?
Well, just, you know, when she's a big star and she heads for the networks, I'm just thinking she needs something easier to remember. Oh, Kolkmeyer, K-O-L-K.
Yeah, wasn't the lottery girl Kolkmeyer?
That was Kolkmeyer.
Kolkmeyer.
Kolkmeyer,
yeah. Yes.
That was Kolkmeyer.
Coleman, right. Like Goldman.
Yes. And Loretta Lynn was the coal miner's
That's right.
daughter.
Right.
That's funny.
Morgan Kolkmeyer, and we've gotten a lot of feedback on our social media from people who live in the Rockford area saying how great she is, how much they enjoy her, how much they're going to miss her. And we've responded to each one. Tough luck. She's ours now.
Right. Too
eat
bad.
It. So eat it, Rockford.
Too bad. So sad.
Very. I haven't met her yet. Her picture is very attractive.
Yeah, she's very attractive.
Very, very nice teeth, which is how we hire people on TV.
That's exactly right. There's a full dental check. So, and I would say, and this is not a shot at all, but I would say this is something in TV we call the Cheryl Scott impact.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Cheryl Scott, is that her name?
Yes, Cheryl Scott, Channel 7, yeah.
Cheryl Scott.
What do you mean?
Well, I just think that look is very popular.
That hot, attractive.
Well, not just attractive people in TV, but that particular look in weather. Because she's a very good meteorologist, and I'm sure the Kolkmeyer is as well.
Are you saying the rest of us aren't flaming hot?
Dean, I think you're flaming hot.
I think everybody but Paul, who will be on next hour. But Conrad will join us then. We have one other local note, and that is Rob Feeder in his highly popular blog, robertfeeder.com.
And Daily Herald.
No. And the Daily Herald, pointing out that Kathy Hart has still not shown up on the Eric and Kathy show, so now it's just the Eric and show.
Steve has her locked up in his basement.
No, that's really not true.
In his basement.
I can promise you that's not true. But the Eric Ann show.
Are we number one yet? Keep her down there for a little while.
And nobody is commenting as to why. They don't seem to know why.
That's odd.
Well, we hope she's okay.
Well, certainly we hope she's okay. She's a nice person.
Yeah, very nice.
I mean, what I know of her, I'd only know her, you know. I only know her from that thing where you meet a competitor at an event, Dean, and you go, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, you pretend like you like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to do that with Ro. You know, and then I found out, he's goofy, but he's a good guy. Yeah. I'd see Ro at the auto show. We'd do the dude thing where we just nod at each other from across the room. Hey, man.
At the auto show, you have to be extra man, yeah. You know, like macho.
Did you do the sup?
Yeah, sup. I did. And just to show off right in front of the old WLS booth where he and Roper would be, I changed the oil on a car just to show him my kid.
Steve walks around with one of those things that you put on the ground and slide under
right?
the car.
With his lube.
Hello. Yeah. When doesn't he walk around with his lube?
It has nothing to do with the auto show. All right, it's 8:17. When we come back, we have several things to talk about in the wild and wacky world of show business, including the Pirates movie, if you might be able to see it as soon as tonight, an Oprah fight, and a bunch of TV news. We'll get to all of that coming up. First, here's Mary.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
All right, back to Channel 9 and Dean.
Hey, before we get to the list,
yeah,
on Facebook, have you seen the dancing video of Mark Carman?
I'm glad you brought this up. I feel that Homeland Security should have shut this down. He is in a sequin shirt, and he's got nothing on Julia Louis-Dreyfus from the old Seinfeld days.
Shirt unbuttoned.
The Elaine dance.
Yeah.
That's his Argentine tango shirt.
Can I defend Mark Carman? When Mary Vandeveld asked a bunch of people, nobody stepped up. Nobody.
Nope.
Dave Annett.
She never asked me.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Carmen stepped up.
I didn't.
Wait, hold on. This is yours, Mary? I thought this was the station thing.
No, no. It's something I did 3 years ago for the DuPage County Seniors. So I'm kind of involved on the board.
Oh, I thought this was the Chicago Dancing with the Seniors.
No, it's not the Chicago one. Celebrity.
So wait, this is 3 years old, this video?
This is No, I did it 3 years ago, and David Miranda did it last year.
Uh-huh.
And then Carmen did it this year. It's for the DuPage County Seniors for Meals on Wheels. It's, you know.
Brett Sobel, the one you're talking about, Steve.
Carmen stepped up.
Brett Sobel.
Oh, that's right.
He took one for the team. He raised some money for charity, and he put himself out there.
But you can't get good praise just because you tried.
No. He only had a couple weeks practice, too.
No, and I have to tell you, again, I would encourage you all to engage in something I call the Cochran move, which is you can ask. It's not happening.
Right.
Two words, sequin shirt.
All right, then I'll do it. Then I'll do it. But only if it has just the one button just above the navel.
That's pretty much all he's got.
And you know what? He loved that shirt. He had that shirt on, and I said, you know, Mark, you're supposed to kind of take that off. It's a costume. You know, you're supposed to wear it before you go out and dance. But he said, nope, I'm wearing it during dinner. So he's got it on during dinner, and here comes
his outfit.
Then the tomato bisque soup shows up, and I thought, oh, boy.
Okay, you know what? You guys need to stop making fun of him. He stepped up.
I'm not.
Up.
I know.
But he didn't do a good job stepping up.
I was a judge. I gave him a 9.
It was bad dancing. It was bad dancing.
You guys are mean. I'd like to see all of you guys try this dance.
Listen, I didn't say that. Mary said that.
I said he's not good at dancing.
Who's
more
judgmental than me?
Yeah.
I'm the most judgmental person you know.
What did you think?
I didn't see the video.
Oh, that's a good way.
And I still say it was bad.
Dave, what kind of reaction do you think there's going to be the next locker room he goes into who may have seen this
video? That's a good point.
I think he's been banned from every locker room in town, Dean.
Now, Jared Payton did it.
Jared won.
He won that.
Mark can't even move his hips. Like, it was really uncomfortable.
He was good. He did okay.
I give him credit.
You guys didn't see the other people in the competition. You gave him a sympathy nine,
right?
Well, everyone else, I think, gave him an 8.
See, well, that's good. That's a high score.
We only had an 8, 9, 10 choice, too.
Oh.
Really? Oh.
Well, you don't want to be mean. Everybody's doing it for charity.
Plus, he didn't even know the steps. He was looking at his partner.
He forgot. You know, when you have 350 people looking at you and the lights are shining on you, you do freeze. It happened to me. I mean, you freeze. You freak out.
No, you danced really well.
I didn't know that part.
Some of us have the good sense to not do that for that very reason.
Right.
And some of us have the moves, which is why I will do it next year.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. All right, so now to the list of the important things we need to talk about.
The video is on WGNradio.com, by the way.
Well, don't encourage people.
Go listen right now.
Pirates of the Caribbean, number 7 or 8.
5.
Jason gets personal and hacks your head off. I don't know what this is.
Pirates of the Caribbean, the official title of the movie is... I forget.
Johnny Depp needs money.
Long Day's Journey Into Night or something like that.
All right, so it got pirated? I mean, this is ironic. The Pirates movie got pirated?
Hackers have acquired a copy of Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
That's true.
And they're threatening to leak it online if Disney doesn't pay up. They're holding it for ransom. They want money. This is exactly what happened to Netflix recently. When somebody stole the new season of Orange is the New Black.
But did they send an email or do they call Disney and go, "Arr, guess who's got your movie?
We be wanting your movie if you want to see it live." I don't know. I don't know how they got a hold of them. But this is like the new trend. Isn't that what the hackers did in the UK recently? It's not just hacking and stealing information. Now it's, you know, like we've hacked your computer and you have to pay us money. Or we're going to destroy everything. So anyway, Disney has not commented on whether or not they're going to give in to this. They probably won't because these online leaks traditionally have very little impact on box office numbers. Not that big of a deal. But the FBI is investigating this. I'm going to be interviewing the cast of this movie on Friday. So
And when will you reveal that you're the one that stole the movie?
I'm afraid I cannot do that, Steve.
No, you're not going to do it immediately?
I've read that FBI warning on DVDs for too many years. I'm a law-abiding critic.
Yes, you are. Yes, you're Law and Order Dean.
Yep.
Why is someone named Monique fighting with Oprah?
You know the comedian Monique.
Monique.
Yeah, the comedian Monique. She won an Academy Award. She was the mother in that movie, Lee Daniels Presents Precious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she says now that it's Lee Daniels... who is preventing her from getting any more jobs in Hollywood She says that it's Lee Daniels, that it's Tyler Perry, and it's Oprah. They're all conspiring to keep her from getting jobs.
But why would they do that?
Well, she suggests that people say that she's difficult to get along with. Mm-hmm. She was doing some stand-up at the Apollo Theater in Harlem over the weekend, and in extremely colorful, extremely suggestive language, called them all out and said she's not afraid of any backlash. She says, I'm just saying what's true.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, you have to deal with the consequences, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
So,
yeah, why not take on three of the most powerful people in show business?
Yeah, so Monique needs work in case you're hiring. TV news, what do you got?
Odd Couple has been canceled.
It's probably good considering it sucked.
Wow.
I was disappointed because I like both of the leads. I like Matthew Perry and I like the guy from Reno 911.
Yeah, Thomas Lennon.
Thomas Lennon. I like both of them, but the show was terrible.
Yeah, it was not great. It got okay ratings, didn't get great ratings. The previous TV incarnation of The Odd Couple with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall was on for 5 years. This one was on for three. But Matthew Perry, a month ago, tweeted that his face on the stage door where they record the show had been painted over with green paint. He said a month ago, I think it's safe to assume we've been canceled.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, you know, the week before I was fired here, legendarily fired coming out of the men's room here?
Yeah.
Or the bathroom here? They changed the lock on my office door upstairs. The locksmith got the wrong date.
Oops. Oh, before the bathroom incident?
Yeah, so Tom Langmeyer, genius that he was, decided to hire the locksmith, and I just screwed up the date somehow. So I got off the air one day, and it wasn't like I didn't know it was coming. But I go back to my office, and there's a guy changing the lock on the door.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wrong day.
and he knew that something was up. He goes, oh, you got to talk to whoever. And I think it was the lovely and talented Carol Hankner
who just said,
no, I think it's she didn't want to get involved, obviously. Not that she knew necessarily what was coming up. And then Langmeyer ran like it would normally and hid. But yeah, they changed the lock a week at a time. So I understand being painted over.
Was it any of the future personalities who were actually changing the lock on your door?
Yeah, there was a French guy from Cleveland.
Frenchie. I don't even remember his name. Because we ever called him was Frenchie.
Yeah, Frenchie. The Frenchie guy.
Simon something?
So what's Simon? Look, it's you.
Simon Badinter, wasn't it?
Wow, look at you guys knowing stuff that's really pointless.
Useless information.
Steve, I know what you mean. I also got fired at WGN. My name is Simon.
That's right. You're not Simon. You're Simon.
Simon. Tim Allen's show, Last Man Standing, got the axe from ABC last week, but there is now an online petition to boycott ABC because the organizers of this boycott are saying that the show was canceled strictly because of its conservative leanings.
I don't understand this because, as you know, network TV is not exactly in the golden age. And if they have a hit show, the idea they would cancel it just to send a political message seems ridiculous to me. If the show was still making money.
The ABC says it was because of scheduling issues. The show had okay ratings. It was the highest rated show on Friday nights for ABC. But Friday nights, sort of the graveyard for television network programming anyway. So having huge ratings on a Friday night is not the biggest of deals. But fans of the show, fans of Tim Allen, are saying this is strictly because Allen, both on the air and off the air, has been very conservative. On the show, famously made fun of President Obama. Tim Allen has said that he was the modern-day Archie Bunker, and that's what the whole deal was.
I think the show's funny. The show's funny. It's well-written.
I think it is, too. Yeah. I like it.
Well, fortunately for
you. By the way, people, it's a TV show.
So we'll see what happens on the ABC. But in the meantime, reruns of Last Man Standing, Steve, weeknights at 8 on WGN-TV.
Thank God we're there for them. All right, we're out of time, but we'll do more magic tomorrow.
I can hardly wait.
Good luck.
No, I mean it.
And nice sequined shirt.
I mean, seriously.
So do I. No, I mean it.
No, I mean it more than you do.
8:32. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Mayor Emanuel was in last week, and we didn't talk in detail about it, but we had before about this brand new Rolling Stones exhibit, which I think is going to be packed all summer long, don't you?
Oh my God, it's already seen great numbers, too.
Exhibitionism, the Rolling Stones, and in studio with us, founder and creator, and I hope, I hope I get your name right. Anijo Matthew.
Yes.
From where?
I'm a professor at IIT Chicago, Illinois Institute of Technology.
But what do you know about the Rolling Stones? Come on, man.
So the reason I'm here is because we created a platform which is called Vamonde, V-A-M-O-N-D-E.
Yes.
And it's an interactive storytelling app. Oh. So it's urban exploration meets storytelling.
So Vamonde allowed the Rolling Stones exhibition to be as cool as it is?
Well, we allowed the Rolling Stones exhibition to extend beyond the four walls of Navy Pier into
the
city.
To make it interactive and...
Right, well, outside into the city, right? We are telling the story of how the Stones, how Chicago influenced the Stones as they were growing up.
There's a great...
So you can walk around with it on your phone and get all pumped up before you come down.
There's a great story. Right. We had Buddy Guy on the show a couple years ago. I think this was before Steve, the before you came back, Steve. And Buddy Guy was telling a great story. He used to have a club on the South Side, 63rd. You know the story, right?
Yes.
And he had this young, hot group for the first time in Chicago performing. I'm not giving anything away, am I?
Was Anijo in it?
No, they had this great new hot band from England performing in his club, and people were saying this band is going to be huge, and they were scaling the walls of the club. They were trying to get in through the back door and climb up the fire escape. It was the Rolling Stones.
That's right.
People were trying to see.
Do you know what Buddy Guy said that day? He said, "Who are these white dudes with long hair walking around in my club?"
Right. Right.
And then he said he claims to this day that they bailed before they paid the bar bill.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, so he said, you know, with interest right now, I think the Mick and the boys would owe him a lot of money.
Oh, the Stones love blues. The Stones love the blues.
Very
huge influence.
Yeah, the name Rolling Stones comes from a Muddy Water name.
Is that right?
A song.
I didn't know that.
And
you should put that on the app.
It is.
Okay.
It's on the app, yeah. And Bo Diddley was a big influence.
That's right.
In fact, Club 708, which doesn't exist now, is on the app. You can see where it was. You can see videos of things that happened there. There's this interview from 1964 when the Stones came to Chicago, when the Stones were just, you know, initially starting off.
Uh-huh.
It's a black and white video, and you can see these four guys fidgeting because they have no idea what to do on TV.
Sure.
And then they get the instrument and they start singing, and it's magic.
What's funny is Mick still fidgets.
Yeah, right?
He still looks like a twitch with legs. Exhibitions of a Navy Pier, blockbuster music experience. And if you're there, you get to go through this 18,000 square foot exhibit. It's only running for a limited time through the end of July. And you can go to stonesexhibition.com. But I'm fascinated by this template of sorts that you've developed. Company again is called Vamonde?
Yes, Vamonde. It stands for two French words, Vamonde, meaning go world or travel world.
Okay.
And we essentially want people to get off their computer screens and go out into this beautiful city of ours and explore the city. I mean.
But you could do this with any business.
That's right.
As an enticement to go and enjoy the business. From your house, from your car, or whatever.
Absolutely. So do you know that today is, I'm sure you know H.H. Holmes, The Devil in the White City.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Today is his birth anniversary. And they exhumed his body last week.
I didn't get him anything.
They exhumed his body?
They exhumed his body because they didn't know if it was really, they suspect that he actually cheated himself out of the execution.
Oh, so they wanted to prove the story was right.
Right. And we have on Vamonde app a story that connects H.H. Holmes to different parts of the loop. It's pretty amazing, right? So he had a cement factory just across from where we are sitting. He had a cement warehouse, and the suspicion is...
A dead guy with a cement warehouse.
A murderer with a cement warehouse.
Yeah.
What do you think he was doing?
Burying bodies.
Yeah, in the river. And this is all speculation and suspicion at this point.
But it's a good story.
It's a great story. I mean, the city is full of these stories. Right?
Don't you think? How does this translate to exhibitionism too? You can not with the bodies
Mick
in the cement
Jagger,
factory.
Mick Jagger killed a guy.
We don't want to implicate Jagger or Keith or anybody.
No, these are different adventures on the platform.
Yeah.
So the Rolling Stones have created two adventures. One is called From London with Love, and the other is called Music Lives On. And London with Love is all the existing places that influence the Stones, and the Music Lives On is all the places that influence the Stones that don't exist anymore. right? So Club 708 or Checkerboard Lounge. I'm sure you've heard these
names.
Sure.
Sure, of course. Sure.
Right? And but the ones that exist still are Chess Studios, Buddy Guy's Legends,
for example.
And there's one which is not in the adventure, which is pretty amazing. In 1984, I think, the Rolling Stones came to Chicago and played a Double Door.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
In Wicker Park?
In Wicker Park. And we have a bootleg video of that on the platform.
And this is probably one of the smallest. I mean, the Double Door, great legendary bar. It's kind of like that club at the Metro where you go downstairs into the basement and literally, Steve, maybe... I'm surprised they could all fit on the stage.
Yeah,
it's so small.
In fact, not everybody could fit in there. We were just talking to the host of Vocalo the other day, and she was saying she was sitting outside smoking a cigarette because they wouldn't let her in.
How about that?
Is that right?
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
I just signed up for the app.
That's fantastic.
And I just downloaded it while we're sitting here.
Oh, that's great.
So this includes travel as well.
So it's all for tourists. So we're working with True Chicago. We're working with downtown associations to get the city in the hands of tourists and locals who don't know their city as well or just want to explore the city. So you can imagine, I mean, the new tourists, we call them digitally savvy urban explorers. Wow. The digitally savvy, we have a millennial in our office. I was just presenting the concept to him. Oh, yes.
You need the millennial repellent.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about the platform, and we said, most tourists carry a Lonely Planet guide in their hands. This guy, he puts his hand up and he says, what's a Lonely Planet guide? Can you imagine? This guy doesn't even know what a Lonely Planet guy is.
How about that?
Oh my gosh. No kidding.
And how old is this individual? In their 20s?
Yeah, in the 20s. Yeah, and so there's a whole group of people that actually, when they arrive into a new city, pull out their smartphone and scrape the internet.
And it basically means that Nijo and I are old.
No, it does not at all. But it's cool because there's barcodes, too, on certain, statues or sculptures or pieces of art that you can just scan with your phone now and learn about it.
Yes,
the phone will start talking to you.
Yes, talking statues.
Yeah.
The app is visually very cool.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Yeah, which
that's
is
great.
A big hook.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so you'll get a long-distance love affair talking about the Stones.
Absolutely,
You'll love to Chicago. Soldier Field, which Stones played how many times? 400 million?
Oh, yeah, Soldier Field, they have enough imprints there. They don't need any.
Right, the Buddy Guy's Legend story that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The Chess Studios story. Chess Studios, one of the legendary studios in music. The
South
Aragon.
Loop. Yeah.
And right. Chicago in Stadium.
Yes.
Well done by you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I encourage people to download the app, VAMONDE, and go for the exhibition. It's amazing. You can buy tickets directly off the app.
Yeah.
So you can go into the first page and just click, and it takes you to the ticket page.
And by the way, there's tons of Chicago stuff in here.
Oh, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Exhibitionism is super cool. Not only one of the largest collections of Rolling Stones, memorabilia and whatnot, but it actually puts you in like a 3D concert experience. So it's like you're actually at a concert.
Does Keith know that the app exists?
You can actually... No, I don't know if he knows.
Does Keith know he's in a band at this point?
That is a problem.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see you. Great to meet you. And congratulations on it. And I know Jerry Michelson was going to join us, but he was one of the co-founders. And this guy's a legend. Was he fun to work with?
Oh, he's amazing. We were just on an interview the other day, tag teaming, and it's such a fun experience just working with him.
Yeah, you're welcome here anytime.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Nijo.
Let's do traffic. Mary's here. Any word on a baby?
No, too early, I think, Steve.
All right, how many hours are we anticipating?
I don't know. It's her first baby, so you never know. It's the first baby.
Okay. Could be. And we only got about a minute here, but Sandberg has something troubling her. What is it?
So I've been struggling with something lately, and I'd like a little help. I have all my dinnerware, or our dishes. We have 10 place settings for the regular stuff, not including the china.
So far, totally tracking with you.
Okay. 10.
And it's all white. And I've become obsessed with thinking that we really only use the top 4 or 5 plates or bowls or small plates at any given time.
So they're always in rotation.
The top 4 or 5 are. Yeah. So
not the bottom ones.
The bottom ones are getting no use. And I'm thinking I need to implement some kind of rotation system because some plates, because they're white, they're starting to look used, but the bottom 6 are...
So you're going to get uneven wear on them.
Yeah, and now if I do implement the system, getting the whole household on board to take the clean stuff out of the dishwasher and slip it under the big piles.
It's a major issue.
Here's maybe a quick fix. At first, take the first five that are in the mm-hmm. rotation.
Mm-hmm. Write this down, listeners.
Right, put them on the bottom and then just tell the family, the staff at home... to use them how they normally would. And then the top
the
five.
The top ones will start getting
they'll
used.
Start getting
but here's the thing.
Rotation.
Let me just open this up to the listeners. If you're not going to do my system, which I told her off the air, just take a Sharpie and put an X on the ones you want to use. 312-981-7200 if you have a suggestion on how to fix her China problem or the name of a good therapist. CLTV is next.
I have something to say here. Donald Trump, if you're watching, first of all, you're a bad president. Please resign. Second of all... Trump apparently went off script and began describing details about an Islamic State terrorist threat. That is unbelievable. Trump has a script? I don't believe that for a minute. I need intel on that.
Yeah, I need that too.
And the information is so sensitive that the article can't describe in detail what was shared, but one official said this is code word information. Okay, so like the code word means you have to say things like the package has been delivered. The squirrel is in the basket. The idiot is in the oval.
Nine ten. I think the idiot in the oval is a little strong.
Yeah?
I mean, for code word, it's a lot of words. You know?
You mean, yeah.
Got texts about Sandberg's China problem. And I don't mean China.
I mean dishes.
I mean dishes. 630, talk about first world problems. P.S. Don't give Sandberg this number. She frightens me. 630, she's running the dishwasher too often and not full. Two meals, eight place settings, better rotation. I just put my clean dishes underneath, but I live alone. I don't know why the I live alone part was in there. Sounds like she's got a system.
It's because nobody has to follow the system with her. She can live alone.
But don't you think you have full cooperation in your regime?
The fact that I got
I mean,
a
the Sandberg administration, the Sandberg administration seems to be run very tightly.
Yes, this one might be a little bit asking a lot.
Do you want to tell us what your husband, the world-famous Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, texted you?
He said, wow, you sound crazy. Stop. I love you.
Like how he adds the I love you.
Typical husband.
Yeah.
312 has the same suggestion Jake had, which is, hey, paper plates? Mm-hmm. 708 Sandberg can just eat off those Bounty paper towels he loves so much.
No, that'd be a waste of towels. Don't be silly.
269, just don't wash the dishes until all of them have been used and are dirty. And then 630. This is what I was just telling Sandberg. Every time she goes off on one of her trips down crazy lane, there's at least one or two people who text in. And by the way, my mother is one of them. She doesn't text, but she's one of them who goes, I agree with everything she says.
Your mom says it.
She says what I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not judgmental. She's direct.
By the way, explains a lot about my mother. From the 630. Hi, I have the same issue. I rotate every time I unload the dishwasher, clean ones on the bottom. Or hide the other ones with good china.
Yeah.
See, just wait till they start chipping. Mine are starting to chip anyway, so I'll just have to throw them away. I got those plates from Jewel. Remember when they were giving away all the plates? I think they were like Rachel Ray plates or something. And they're all starting to chip now. So I'm like, oh, well, just toss this one. Then I can get new plates. How about
is that,
that
when they
Sandberg?
Had the plates, like, and they'd hand them to you as you were checking out?
Yeah, it was weird if you bought.
Yeah, it's
I
like the Monopoly thing, the Monopoly
yeah.
tickets
oh, that
thing.
Is a, oh, boy.
That's a scam. I'm done playing Monopoly. I played for 3 years in a row.
Amy Cochran won.
No way.
Well, I got a free bagel.
Wait, what'd she win?
Free loaf of bread.
She won a couple $100 in groceries.
No way. There's no way.
I'm not kidding.
I don't know anybody
Amy
who won.
Cochran doesn't lie.
No, she probably won, but she's probably one in a million. Because they always give you always are missing one in each
yes,
sequence.
In each one. Well, for the big trip, for this, for that.
If they just handed out the big trip, then it wouldn't be a contest,
but
would it?
They stopped it. They just, all of a sudden, I went the other day and I said, I need more tickets because I got some free tickets. Blah, blah. No, they're gone. I go, what do you mean they're gone? They weren't supposed to be gone till like the end
of May. I love how you two didn't win, so you think it's a scam.
Well, I tried for many years.
And that you're upset that your poorly produced plates that were free are starting to chip.
Yeah, I can't believe
they gave them to you for free.
No, they weren't free. We had to pay a certain amount. They were just cheaper. When I don't remember the contest, but I know we did have to pay for something.
I just can't think of something I'd want less than a plate to carry out to my car with my groceries. know, trying to get my groceries in the car, and now I got to carry plates as well.
They were Rachel Ray plates. They were very pretty. I mean, they're like, you know,
if Rachel Ray was at the checkout, I wouldn't want her to come to my car.
Whatever.
What's the update on the baby?
Gee, it's only been 10 minutes.
We want updates. We want updates. Is your son calling?
He hasn't texted me at all. No, nobody's texting me. So that means they're busy. They're busy breathing.
Do you need to leave now and head straight for Wisconsin?
No, I'm not going till after the baby's born. No.
Seems like
her parents are going to go. They were invited because they have to take care of the dog.
All right. Well, then maybe you're making the right decision.
Yeah.
John DeCosta standing by. John will be in studio tomorrow. Promoting karaoke. But of course, based on what you've been listening to on hold, John, you sure you want to come in?
Oh my, this is like my favorite thing, to just sit there and not say anything and have you guys go back and forth. It's a dream come true.
Now, when Jewel was giving out the free plates, did you get any?
Yeah. They're just from aisle six. They're just the plates that they were serving, like, you know, complimentary things on.
Oh, you just took those. You took the sample plates.
Once she was done, I'm like, I'm just going to grab this.
Remember when Jewel was handing out dining room chairs? That was awkward as well.
They did the pots and pans, too. I have some of those.
Did they really do pots and pans?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we actually got some of those, too.
Those are nice, huh, Dave? They're nice.
I don't remember. They might have been for one of the kids. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I gave the kids my old ones, and I got the new ones.
Tomorrow, karaoke.
Bed set.
Tomorrow, karaoke. Karaoke, John will pick our second finalist. Now, here's the good news. There's still time for you to get in. Andrea, you're coming to work this morning. What song did you sing in the car? Act like you didn't sing. We know you did.
You know what song I had in my head? The one that Dave was singing the other day. I'm in love with your body. But I was singing.
Somehow
it
it's better when she does it than when you do it, Dave. But that could be just me.
But that's been stuck in my ear since you've done that, Dave.
Dave, what'd you sing this morning on the way to work?
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet too. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my room. Now my bed sheets smell like you. Every day I discover something.
By the way, there's police tape that was placed around Dave after his
Karen. Karen's filed the TRO.
At least I wasn't doing Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, don't.
Well, you said you wanted to do it, so you're up next year.
No,
Dave.
I didn't. I didn't say I wanted to.
I heard you say
I just
that.
Said I wasn't asked.
Well, that means you want to.
So Paul Conrad will join us here in a couple minutes. We're going to try to get him to come on and do a guest karaoke thing. But in the meantime, just to explain how people can enter. Still can enter today. John, they can enter today.
That's right. They can send a recording of their voice or some video from their phone, and they can send that directly to msandberg, SANDBERG, at WGNradio.com. And let's try to help these people out for tomorrow, Steve. Last week, we tried to do phone-ins between 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people are driving to work between 9 and 10. So I think a lot of people are already set. But they can also call in tomorrow, and I can listen to them live.
Yeah, we will take live calls tomorrow as well. But you get a jump on this today, send a video or just the audio from your video to us. You can even send a video of you singing and go, please don't use the video. We can pull the audio.
Right.
But you got to be singing in the car. We obviously would prefer that you don't do it while you're driving because it's dangerous.
Correct.
But in the meantime, you're a grown-up. Do whatever you want to do. All right, so that's it. And again, the address to send is
msandberg, M as in Mary, SANDBERG, at WGNradio.com.
Should you send a plate with it?
And a pot.
Send one plate, a pot, and an end table.
Right. Please include those with all of them.
Probably going to be chipped anyway.
Paul Conrad. Paul Conrad standing by. We'll go to him next on CLTV. Where thanks for watching. If you are watching, if you're not watching, please turn it on. It's 9:19 now on 720 WGN. This is the love theme from Paul Conrad. He's feeling it a little bit if you're watching on CLTV.
I feel it a little bit right here.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fine. Can you see us?
Yeah, I can.
Have you got a monitor?
I do have a monitor, but
it's awkwardly positioned.
Well, it's not just that, but it's like there's somewhere between a 20-second and a 3-minute delay.
Yes, so, you don't want to watch it. You don't want to watch
it's
it.
It's gonna be fine.
Today's topic is fashion.
Oh yeah.
So we want to talk about your beard, which is closely cropped now, as opposed to the Amish killer that you had previously.
Yeah, I cleaned it up. I believe it was Sunday. It was whenever I last took a shower.
Now, I've just got this little scrubby sort of goatee thing going on, right?
Yeah. It's,
and I find that it's a pain.
It is a lot of work.
You have the full beard thing going on. So
yeah.
Cleaning it up before, because you know the Letterman beard that everybody thinks?
Right. Oh, it's fashionable.
The Unabomber beard?
Yeah, the Unabomber beard. Paul had that, the vagrant look.
Yeah.
And who convinced you to trim it up?
I hang out with some of these homeless guys, and we're sitting around talking, and one of the guys says, hey, you're looking a little rough around the edges. For a man in your condition, should clean that up. And so I thought, okay. So I went inside, and I cleaned it up. I feel like it looks...
You look great.
Yeah, and so I feel
and
like...
And I say that as your friend. You look great.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like if I do that once every month and a half or so... People get the understanding that I care about them, I care about myself as a human being.
Right, you're taking care of your look.
Yeah, that I'm not just, you know, willy-nilly.
See, I found with the goatee, it's about a week before it gets to be a problem. Mm-hmm. So I treat it like I used to treat bath night. Sunday nights was bath night when I was a little kid. You know, you could take a shower during the week, but on Sunday nights, mom insisted you take a bath.
Yeah. Right.
So you sit in your own swill when Bonanza's on. Come on, please. So that's when I trim it up on Sunday night. So if you're sitting around on Sunday night, you're going, I wonder what Steve Cochran's doing right
now. You're in the bathtub.
Now you know. I'm curious, does Paul use the straight razor on when you shave your head? Or do you use just the regular little Bic or the Gillette?
Yeah, I use the old regular whatever it is.
Like the disposable?
No, I've got a...
You don't have your houseboy Seth take care of that for you?
I used to, but he would get a little bit tight sometimes, and I got to have a perfect touch. And so I do it all myself, and, you know, I think I've shared with you guys, but I take several baths a day. And so usually now it's like the third one. I have been using that as an opportunity to shave my head.
Now, I would say that Dave is between my beard and your beard. I got the goat. Dave's got the George Clooney scruffle.
Oh, nice.
And you've got the beard. So, Dave, what do?
Well, I trim it up every day.
Every day?
Every day?
Well, I just go over it. Wow. I mean, it takes 2 seconds. I just go over it with a razor just to keep it.
What are you dropping the razor to? Is it a one?
I don't know.
You just got the setting.
I don't think mine even has that. But, Paul, I do have a question.
Yeah.
This came up at a gathering of the guys with beards.
Yeah,
the meeting. The meeting we all go to.
Yeah.
Right. The meeting.
Yeah.
And somebody suggested that you shampoo and condition your beard.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I can't.
I never had done that.
No.
But I don't know. Is that something as a professional that you do?
No. And I think that this might be. I think there's. Maybe guys that are under the age of 40 or something like that.
Yeah.
Who?
When you get to our age and you don't care anymore.
I forget who I am. I find myself lost, you know, when I'm in these baths.
Yeah.
And so I don't. Every so often I will run a bar of soap through it.
Right.
Well,
you know, if you're bald, not that Paul's bald, but certainly I am.
No.
If you're
I've
bald.
I've got a bald spot, but it's
you're not totally bald.
No, yeah. But if you're bald, you know, it's the body wash. Basically, they sell you a product that's called body wash, shampoo, motor oil, cereal topping. It's all in one bottle.
That's what I use, 3-in-1.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That stuff's not easy to use, that wash stuff.
Yeah. So, but my point is, you throw a little bit of that on in your hands and you just rub it on the beard.
You guys are so lucky, you're guys, because we have to buy the shampoo, the conditioner, body wash, the shaving cream for our legs.
That's a choice you're making.
It's a choice you're
making. There's like 15 things in my shower.
Don't project mistakes onto men.
I guess you guys are just luckier.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the wardrobe.
All right.
I don't know how you decide the clothes you wear every day. You look terrific.
Well, thank you. I spend a lot of time because I care.
Are you familiar with the term romper?
Oh, yeah. I have been on the verge.
The onesie that women look so darn cute in
Yeah.
Is now available for men, a romp him.
Yeah.
Not a romp her, a romp him. Are you considering getting it?
Yeah, I am seriously considering it. As long as I can get one that's broad enough in the shoulders for me and still kind of lets me show off my guns.
Yeah, sure, because the gun show's on.
Yeah, and so, but the one piece, and if it's out of like a terry cloth that is in pastel... And
the terry cloth is dangerous if it rains.
It is, that's the only problem. But listen, I'm a weatherman, so I should know.
Yeah.
If I get rained on, it's shame on me.
It's kind of your fault.
But finding, I'm trying to find it where it lands at the right level on my upper thigh.
Well, that's the problem because the 70s basketball short length, you really got to have great thighs for that to work. And secondarily, one of the reasons I like the underpants that I wear as a grown man is the fact that the rise is that Paul's talking about is just right.
Yeah.
You know, I think Kramer said it best on Seinfeld. You know, your boys need a home. Or maybe it was Jerry.
Right. So that's why the basketball to the knee, that is a good length for you guys
You want proper support, but you don't want too much room there.
But you're talking under panties, right? You're not talking
about but if you notice the romp him, it's a high and tight sort of thing.
It is high and tight. But, you know, it's 2017. You can't stay in the 90s or the 2000s. You got to stay with it. And listen, one thing I know is that the ladies enjoy seeing a little bit of a higher white thigh here in 2017.
Like a pasty
white thighs.
With maybe a little cellulite.
Right. Yeah. I know initially it's going to be uncomfortable for you.
And you think we're the weirder sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can wear them all out golfing together.
Oh, yeah.
Because I understand they're really comfortable, and with that terry cloth, they move nicely.
Well, I mean, the truth is, I get a romp him tomorrow, but I don't think they come in a double X, and I got to get the double X.
I think you all
do want
need
it loose.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true. I want it loose. Yeah, thanks. So
and
I'm
bending over to pick up
him.
The ball. You know, in those really...
That's why plumbers don't wear romp hems.
It's
nothing but trouble. All right, thanks for our fashion segment. We appreciate it.
Glad we got that all straightened out.
All right, back to work for you.
All right.
Oh, there you go.
That's I love you.
Love you back. See you at the house.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
I'll bring the milk home today.
Somebody
got stuff in the car also.
This is on.
I feel like a sitcom. We're looking for the switch to turn it off. All right, we'll come back to the big story next. It's Paul Conrad.
It was highly disturbing.
I don't know. I felt like we learned a lot. Yeah. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle.
Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Every Tuesday where he's available, we track down our friend Big O, Orion Samuelson, and have him educate us and check in. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing better, slowly but surely, every day, still in the desert in Scottsdale, and listening to your temperature forecast for today, you may be warmer than the desert in the Southwest, because we're at 73 now, and I think getting up to 85 or so today. But
85? That's practically winter there.
It is, yes. But I tell you, the locals love it because they know that within a month we'll be at 115 and 120.
Yeah.
And so the locals are very happy about it. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to eat cricket?
I've been offered cricket at different times, including live in studio, and I've never decided to partake. What am I missing?
I don't know. I'm not going to find out either, because I don't think I'll be eating cricket. But it is becoming more and more looked at in the food industry, because now there is a study on using cricket farming as a sustainable way to produce animal source foods. The study demonstrated that cricket farming can be a sustainable means of producing animal source foods. The study compared cricket produced in Thailand to broiler chicken production, and 15 different environmental impacts were investigated, including a global warming potential, according to sources on that. So there are places in the world where insects are a big part of the diet, but I'm not ready for it here in the U.S.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
The head of the chicken.
The chicken head, was that in China?
Yeah, that was in China when I first went there back in the 70s. I was there on my birthday, and our Chinese host discovered it was my birthday, and so they prepared a birthday celebration, and out the, and there when they do chicken, they take the feathers off, and then they kind of drop it in a pot of boiling oil, and then they bring it out and they slice it horizontally. You don't carve it or anything, you slice it. And then they put it on a platter, and when they set the platter down in the middle of the table, whoever the head is pointing toward gets it. And so when they...
It's like expensive bottle.
Yeah, and you can't insult your host, so you had to try it, right?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, when they
tastes like chicken?
Down, when they put it down in front of me, I thought what you thought. You know, you just can't make your host upset. So I looked at it. It looked at me.
Oh, man.
And I took the whole thing in my mouth. The beak was crunchy. But outside of the beak, everything else was okay. As a matter of fact, reminded me of a chicken gizzard, and I can eat chicken gizzard. So, that's the most unusual thing.
Have the nightmares subsided?
Didn't last very long, really.
Yeah.
Because then they went on to give me birthday presents, and one of the things they gave me was an abacus, which is their computer.
Sure.
And then the other thing they gave me, and I'll never forget this, the host, he and I had a lot of different political conversations on communism versus capitalism, but we became pretty good friends, and he presented the final gift, which was a Chinese transistor radio.
That's pretty cool.
So that I could listen in Chinese.
That's cool.
And
bent over and laughed and laughed and laughed. I think he thought it was the funniest joke he'd ever told.
And once again, like eating the chicken head, you have to laugh.
Yeah.
Yes. You laugh with them.
It's like the United Nations, how they wear the little headphones so they can understand each other in the different languages.
You didn't ask, but I'll share this with you. The weirdest thing I've ever eaten. I had one of these exotic chef guys come in, and he had a show on Food Network at the time. I don't remember what it was. But he brought in snake wine, this is from Vietnam, brought in snake wine, which was a dead snake in a giant bottle of wine.
Oh.
But that wasn't the weirdest. The weirdest was something called, I think it's the 1,000-year-old egg. I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
But because of the lack of refrigeration, the eggs were buried under the ground. So he handed me this egg, which was charred and black. He had to peel the blackness off the egg and then eat it. So it was an egg that was buried underground. He didn't know how long. And you ate it. And I took a bite of it. I didn't have to offend my host. Or not offend my host. I took a bite of it, but it was very odd. It was like eating dirt.
Was it good?
I would think
Apparently
so.
That's the answer.
No, it was dirt. Oh yeah, God. It was dirt. Anybody else got one? Weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
I ate pig face one time.
What?
I ate pig face. Yeah, it was just, Orion, you've probably even had that. It was a girl and the goat. It's a roasted pig face. It tastes like ham. It was delicious. Delicious.
I've not had that. No.
It was really good.
You know, my cardiologist asked me to cut down on pig face.
On pig face?
Yeah. Dave, you got one?
The one thing I refuse to eat, and that's when they bring the monkey in alive and stick its head through a hole in the center of the table.
Oh.
And the waiter comes with a machete and slices the
See, I thought dinner at your house, Orion, was delightful.
Well, I might never eat again.
I haven't shared that with you, but...
they got a lot of monkeys.
Yes,
apparently
they do.
So.
And I think it was in one of the Indiana Jones movies where they actually did that.
Monkey brains.
Yeah.
You remember that?
You eat the monkey brains. Yeah.
Dave, top that.
Hard to top that. And I don't think this is this unique either, but... when we were traveling with the Bears in 85, it became this tradition to serve alligator on the flights, on the team charters.
Why?
Something that Ditka and Jerry Venezia, the general manager, I think the Bears were playing in Tampa, and they had alligator the night before, so they started...
What does alligator taste like? Chicken.
Isn't it real chewy, like calamari?
Yeah,
kind of?
It was kind of like calamari. But that's the only time
I've
ever had it.
You seem intrigued.
Well, no, I think I had it in Sedona at the airport.
In the middle of the desert? In the middle of the
right,
desert?
Right, Sedona? Yeah, you know that airport I'm talking about? Well, of course, Oregon.
Well, yeah,
knows.
I do. I've landed there. It's on top of a hill.
See?
So when you take off, you don't
Why would they have an alligator in the middle of the desert in Arizona?
It's
awesome that you can sit there. It's a great view of Sedona. It's one of the tallest points.
I'm
you
talking
can sit
about the view.
Amongst the red rocks and yeah. eat alligator and watch the planes land.
That's why you don't see any alligators in Arizona, because they're serving them all at the restaurant.
At the airport.
At the airport in Sedona.
Yeah. I think maybe Andrea had some peyote.
No, back me up, Orion. It's a great airport, and it's a nice place to have a little fried alligator and a cocktail.
I've never had fried alligator there, but yeah, it's fun to fly off that airport because you don't lift off the runway at all. You just fly off the end of it, and it falls away.
Fly off the mountain. Any ag news this week we need to be updated on?
Thus far, the biggest news is we pretty well caught up with corn planting last week, because the first week of May, as I mentioned a week ago, I saw something I had never seen in my career, where Illinois farmers were only able to plant 2% of the corn acres in a week that in the spring is traditionally one of the busiest planting weeks of the year. But the issue, the report yesterday, Illinois is now 75% planted on corn acres, and last week they planted 10% of the corn acres. Meanwhile, Iowa went from 52% planted last week to 85% planted this week. Again, the difference of the Mississippi River.
Very nice. Orion, I have a magazine for you I'm saving. The University of Illinois is celebrating its 150th year, and
oh,
they
yes.
have an entire magazine on the university and the history, and it was founded as the only ag school in the country where you can go and major in agriculture, and it's really about a 10 or 15 page spread just on the history of agriculture studies, which began at the U of I. And is the U of I still one of the premier schools in the country for?
One of the premier schools in the country and in the world. It's a world-class university. But the program you're talking about is what created the land-grant colleges, because
right.
the Morrill Act that was put into place about 100 years ago designated that some land be set aside in every state to teach and study agriculture. And so the University of Illinois is a premier land-grant college.
I'm going to save this magazine for you. It's really interesting.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, Big O. My best. Go enjoy the weather while you can.
I will. And my son David is out here.
Oh,
he's
great.
Playing golf about 3 or 4 days, so it's nice to have him here.
I'll bet it is. All right, say hi to him.
Do that.
That is the Walk of Famer and a guy that's in more halls of fame than anybody I know.
Totally.
He's just, you know, got a trophy room for all the accomplishments and
rooms
recognition. 9:51, a summation of Trump's Russian whatever before Bill and Wendy join us next. That's next. What is that, A Beautiful Night? Oh, no. What that means is, once again, Mike Madigan didn't show up on the show, which means the seventh caller is a big winner now. Let's give him Luminati's Pizza and a Nap gift card for the seventh caller now at 981-7200, 312-981-7200. When Madigan doesn't show up, you're a big winner just because he's a loser and won't come on the show. Spring is rolling along. Time flies. If there's one thing you don't have enough of, you know it's true. It's time. The Chevy Equinox is waiting for you. It's a time saver, and it's going to look good with you in it. Right now at your local Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, find your tag and get $4,250 cash on a 2017 Chevy Equinox, but only until May 31st. Check out Chevy's big fix lease. Get a lot more Chevy for a lot less money. New tech, new safety, the latest streaming, and 4G LTE Wi-Fi. All makes your new Chevy a mobile hotspot that supports up to 7 devices. So go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Or see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Find your tag and get $4,250 cash on a Chevy Equinox. Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, 6 years running. Believe me, they're doing it right. Smart money solution, don't want to miss it. It starts and ends at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
That would be a Pequod's Pizza and App gift card.
Okay, Pequod's Pizza and App gift card for the winner. Seventh caller now. At 312-981-7200. Thank you, Pequod's. Thank you, Apt. At 9:55 today in the news, you will hear more about what Trump did or did not do to our security related to Russia. What we seem to know is the laptops blowing up on flights threat that comes from ISIS and Al-Qaeda, for that matter. that they have this infamous bomb maker who has somehow tapped the technology to be able to sneak explosives and laptops on planes. It's why the flights were banned from certain countries. And I shouldn't say the flights are banned. Laptops were banned on those flights from certain countries recently. There was talk of expanding it. So the day after Trump fired James Comey for the FBI over the Russia thing, his admittance of that, the next day he has in the Russian ambassador, Sergey Kislyak, and the foreign minister as well, Andropov, and they're both in the Oval Office. And he tells them a piece of advice called, or a piece of intelligence called code name intelligence, code word intelligence, the highest level of possible security that could put a agent who has infiltrated ISIS in jeopardy from one of our most trusted allies in the Middle East. It's a violation that really can't be quantified as to what the damage is, but it's ridiculously careless. It's uneducated. It's stupid. And at the bare minimum, the president should talk about it in relation to the rest of our safety. But as usual, all we get is a dumb tweet. Again. So that's where the story stands as of 9:57.
I'm going to check real quick to see if he's tweeted since then. No, just 3 hours ago. I've been asking Director Comey and others from the beginning of my administration to find the leakers in the intelligence community and then to terrorism and airline flight safety, humanitarian reasons. Plus, I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism.
Yeah, the BS meter hitting a 10.
Pete Hassan from the Blackhawks said he sent you this, but you missed it. Frontier on Milwaukee serves whole alligator. You get your morning show group together, and I will pay as a thank you for all of you for everything you do for us. Chef Jupiter does an amazing alligator. So
I'm sure the chef is great, but I'm going to have to talk to Pete about his definition of thank you. Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.